in Metairie. And so that's why we're kind of expediting things. So y'all pray much for me. Tired in my body, but my spirit is willing. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of St. John. The book of St. John, the second chapter. We'll talk about something today that I believe every born-again believer ought to have in their arsenal, in their repertoire. And so, if you will take some good notes today, I believe you can use this type of word for the rest of your life. Maybe use this word for the rest of your life. Now, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I guarantee you that I'm not going the way you think that I'm going to go with this Scripture. So please don't try and go ahead of me. St. John chapter 2, and I want to start reading at verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Make sure you know who you're inviting to the marriage. You won't have the right folks at your gathering. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you to do, or say unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Well, it's about 9 gallons. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. Now this is very important, so get this next little stanza right here. And they filled them up to the brim. They didn't want to leave no room for nothing else other than what they wanted. They fill it up to the brim. Couldn't get nothing else in there. I can't get no help with that one. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servants withdrew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doeth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Don't discard verse number 11, because verse number 11 is very important. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee. Do you have a beginning? Is there a place that you can trace back where God showed himself mighty? When he showed himself as who he is from a supernatural perspective. Do you have a place where you can trace back to go back to? Say, this is how, anytime I might have any doubts in my mind, anytime I might be kind of confused and my mind get convoluted, I can go back to this place right here and revalidate that not only is God real, but he's alive and he's working wonders in the land. Hallelujah. But if I could, just for a little while today, I'd like to challenge your intellect by way of my subject. If you would, raise your right hand and repeat after me. The stuff miracles are conceived in. Now, y'all need to say that again. The stuff that miracles are conceived in. And you got to understand this. There's a certain kind of soil. There is a certain kind of mindset. It's a certain kind of attitude that breeds the kind of stuff that's going to get us from point A to point B, or to take us from the natural to the supernatural. And if you don't have the right stuff, you're not going to be able to go to the next area, because what's going to transpire is you're going to start letting, can I use that word again, stuff, immaterial stuff, to get in the way and impede your progress. You got to know what kind of material you're working with. Amen. You don't need no flies in the bread pudding. That's not a necessary ingredient. So you need to keep that kind of stuff out. You need to make sure only the stuff you need to get your desired results are in the mix. I wish I could get some help here. The stuff miracles are conceived in. That there are a few points that I won't deal with on the day, 5 points, and then I'm going to my seat, that will cause you to be able to get the miraculous operating in your life. Point number one is, we must invite Jesus to all of our gatherings. Anytime you got a brain thrust, anytime you got a gathering, anytime you want to sit down and talk about something pertinent or important, or even sit down and talk about some things that are social, make sure you invite Jesus. Because he will control the content of the conversation. Don't you realize some of the things that really cause us not to get the victory in our lives and not to have the miraculous operating inside of us is some of the stuff that we communicate in some of these unsocial environments? Now, I said unsocial environment because, you know, there's just certain people invited to our gatherings. Some of these environments that we're in, amen, it's not stuff conducive to cause miracles to happen in your life. Before you can get the miraculous to happen, you got to go back and repent about some stuff you said or some areas you ventured into that you shouldn't have went to. But if Jesus is in all of your gatherings, I can't get no help with this. If Jesus is in all of your gatherings, you will be careful of what you say. You will be careful of what you do, and you will make it a point not confessing anything that's going to cause him to get upset or want to get up and leave. I can't get no help with this. I'm talking about the stuff that miracles are conceived in. Jesus must be a part of all of your gatherings. Notice here in the text, and the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus' mama said, well, if I'm here, Jesus needs to be here. Because you never know. Something might come up, and I need his help. Now, you got to understand something. Many times, we want to talk about Mary in a derogatory way, and we want to look at her in a way that's not consistent with the scripture. But contrary to popular belief, Mary knew who Jesus was. Or she might every now and then slip back into her motherly nature and disposition. But she knew who he was. And she knew what was on the inside of her. Because when that angel made that declaration, she said, be it so unto me. I receive the words that you said. No. This holy thing that is getting ready to be birthed in me, I'm in total agreement with it. I know the consequences of being pregnant outside of wedlock. But this holy thing supersedes any anxieties that I might have because of this predicament it's going to put me in. So she knew who he was. You can't carry a child 9 months and don't know. I can't get no help with this. Who he is. Amen. Holy Ghost, amen, starts pouring out on others. And you know, babies start moving around, amen, and the anointing falls in the room and the love of God fills the house, amen. You can't tell me that you can't tell something about this baby here. She knew what she was carrying. She wasn't just pregnant. She knew what she was carrying. This is the seed of the living God inside of me. So she knew who Jesus was, and so she made it a point of making sure he was at the wedding. Now, I don't think, and it might have been one of her relatives or friend, whatever, she made sure he was there. And ain't nobody, you know, have nothing to say about it. And so if you're going to have a gathering, first and foremost, Jesus got to be invited. Now, I'm talking about the things that cause miracles to come into fruition. I'm talking about the things that cause miracles to happen. So point number one is invite Jesus to all of your gatherings because he will keep him clean. He will keep the attitude right. He will keep your mindset right so that the stuff that needs to grow inside of you to cause a miracle to come to pass will be there and won't be contaminated. So point number one, the stuff miracles are conceived in is inviting Jesus to your gathering, having Jesus at your gathering. Point number two, tell him what you need. That there is too many folks that's beating around the bush. You know, just beating around the bush. They have a need and they won't tell God what the need is. Beating around the bush. I'm acting like you don't really need. I need a husband. Well, if you need to tell him. You don't want no playmate. You don't want no playboy, playgirl. You want a husband, want a wife, want a mate. Tell God. And don't be acting like you can beg. I can do it by my. I don't need nobody. I can live by myself. Me and Jesus got good. Don't make me read your mail. Tell him what you need. You got to be honest with God because he already know your heart. So he sees what you need, and he sees what you want, and he's really saying, you know, now if you understand who I am, if you really know who I am, then you know if you tell me what you want, I can give it to you. But see, like I said before, we got to make sure we go back to point A before we go to point B. You got to make sure that Jesus is in all of your gatherings. Any kind of conversation you having on the phone, make sure Jesus is there. All right. Any kind of restaurant experience that you having, rendezvous, runs of the unusual kind, make sure Jesus is there. Yeah. Because if he's there, he'll control the atmosphere. And if something get out of hand, if Bobby slide his hand a little bit too far.
All right.
And you might get anointed and go off in tongues and there's something. I'm like, here goes about God, what is this? You might lay your hand, you might say something. Junior, you move your hand a little bit closer. I'm afraid something might happen. Because my daddy don't tolerate this.
All right. Come on.
Your hand might all of a sudden just start shrinking up. Start getting spotless. White stuff break all out on it. Be careful. Somebody go help me with this. You got to invite Jesus to all your gatherings. And not only that, but then you got to be honest. You got to tell him what you need. Now notice this right here. I'm going to start at verse number. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. It's good to have some backup. Because every now and then your mind might go off. You know, say, hold up there. You know Jesus wouldn't tolerate that. Have somebody in your amen corner. Have somebody talking about, don't worry about it, Sister Bird. Everything going to be all right. His yoke is well easy, and his burden is light. So they not only invited Jesus, but his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. Now she wasn't cutting no corners, going all around. When she found out what the need was, she went right on in and told him. Said, I ain't got no wine. Do something. I ain't got no money, Lord. Do something. I was talking to the Lord the other day. I told Sister Richardson, I said, I feel something in my spirit. There is something quickened, moving in my spirit 2 weeks ago. I said, God has already done it. It just ain't manifest yet. And I said, we got to start praising God because I'm telling you, God done already made the way. And then I turn around and start getting this stuff in the mail and people start saying, we sent you something. Did you get it? No, I didn't get it. Well, we benched it. I said this 2 weeks ago. And I'm saying, my God, look at here. It was just like Mrs. Mitchell, God had said, I answered your prayers. what he told Daniel 21 days ago. But the devil been fighting it. I'm trying to hold it up. But I already answered you. And so I start saying, my God, he sure did. Not 2 weeks ago, I got this quickening in my spirit. And then they talking about, well, 2 weeks ago, we sent you ain't got it. No, I didn't get it. Devil got in the internet and started. I clicked on the wrong thing and deleted something. I don't know. But tell him what you want. I'm talking to the Lord. I said, now, Lord, you know, I'm getting tired now. I'm going to these graphs and going to this site and going to that site and clicking and talking to this man and talking to that woman and talking to this radio station and sending this and sending that. And I'm saying, I ain't got time to do nothing. I said, Lord, I'm getting tired of this now. You got to do something. I need some help here. We got to get this radio, this record deal off the ground. You told us to do it. You said that this was seed for what you wanted us to do. Residual income so that we'll be able to do the stuff that you want done. I said, now, Lord, you got to do something. And then look what happened. Tell him what you want. Now, like I said, we got three record deals right out there now. Three of them. And a fourth one on the way. Tell him what you want. Don't stagger. Triple platinum. Whirlwind. Don't stagger. Don't stagger. Don't stagger it. Tell it. Tell God what you want. I want to come off this job and go full time in ministry. I got to come up. I'm bound over here. Lord, you know what's going on. Get me off this job. Lord, now you know. You know, this complex here ain't ours, but I want it. Amen. Give it to me. Increase my territory. Enlarge my borders. Let the folk know that I'm the blessed of the Lord. Amen. Any redeemed folk here today? Well, say so. I am redeemed. I'm talking about the stuff that miracles are conceived in. That the ground got to be right. The heart got to be right. The mind got to be right. The attitude's got to be right. Your disposition got to be right. Your relationship got to be right. Stuff got to get right. You can say what you want to say. A lot of time when they're going to these fertility clinics and all this other kind of stuff. Throwing Barry White on and all this other kind of stuff. You don't need all that. Injections and all kinds. You don't need all that. You'd be amazed. If your relationship right with God, God will give you peace. And he'll have you reading the book of Solomon before you go to bed. I can't get my sweet beloved. Start talking about how voluptuous everything is. And how sweet. Start talking about what they're going to do tomorrow. God, that heart go to pitter patter. Talking about, man, what in the world? I got myself into here tonight. Tell him what you need. Quit cutting the corners and beating around the bush. Just be up frank with, up front with God and watch him work. And so if the stuff that miracles are conceived in, point number one, you got to have Jesus at all of your gatherings. Point number two, you got to tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. Yeah. And then point number four, I found this quite fascinating here when the Lord gave this to me. Point number four, Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. I'm talking verse four, not point four, verse four. And let me go to verse 3. When Jesus, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Son, they ain't got no wine. We got a need. And Jesus said unto the woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now notice what this woman said. She act like she didn't even hear Jesus. She said, okay, mm-hmm, uh-huh. And that's what some of y'all need to say. Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Whatever, but be respectful now. Don't get flippant. that's you know, modern day stuff there. Flippant. Flippant, that means disrespectful. You know, do something distasteful. Don't get flippant. Jesus said unto the woman, what have I to do with thee? Man, I was not. And his mother said unto the servants, she said, you know what? I'm not going to talk to you no more. Come here. Y'all come here. Whatever he tell you to do, do it. Because he love his mama. And he ain't going to let his mama go down. He know I got a need. I presented it to him. He knows me. And so whatever he tell you to do, do it. Now notice this. This is point number three. Point number three. The stuff miracles are conceived in. Encourage desired results by giving clear, non-defiant instructions. You got to speak in such a way to the mountains. You got to speak in such a way to the people that's subservient unto you that they don't bow or waver or let their mind get caught up in stuff. This woman spoke so powerful that there was a spirit that came out of her words that said, you cannot deny me. You cannot be defiant. You must obey me. And so she spoke under such an anointing but such power that the servant's mind didn't have an opportunity to get negative. They come, we ain't got no wine here. Water pots. See, because you got to understand something. The soil got to be prepared first before the miracle can happen. And so their mind had to be right so that they could make the next step. When Jesus started talking to them about them water pots. Oh, y'all not getting it. Point number three. Encourage desired results by giving clear, non-defiant instructions. Encourage desired results by giving clear, non-defiant instruction. Speak in such a way it commands obedience. There is no ifs and buts about it. You must line up with the word. Bible lets me know if I walk right, if I live right, if my confession is right, if I talk right, there is no good thing that God will withhold from me. And so if I'm living right and I'm living under the auspices of the Holy Ghost and I'm not fighting God's will for my life, when I ask him for something, I got to believe that he's going to do it. And I got to defy everything else. And I got to start speaking to it. Man, you devils, to get out of the way. I command that body to line up with the word. I command you to obey God. And so you got to speak in such a way it commands obedience. And so this woman understood that in order for me to get a miracle, I got to make sure the ground, the hearts, the people that's got to work along with me, that we're all on the same page. And so, in essence, what she did was she rebuked the fear and distilled every negative thought so that they could hear what God was saying by the person of Mary and through the actions of Jesus. And so, look at what we have here. And so his mother, verse number 5, said unto the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. Jesus, thank you. I sure appreciate you and I love you. I love your son. Mama loves her baby boy. Y'all come here. Now, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That was a reverence, a respect that these men gave unto, these servants gave unto Mary. And so there was set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, 9 gallons of water. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Now notice this right here. Notice this right here. They got some empty water pots that'll hold 9 gallons of water. There it is out there. And Jesus said, get the water pots and fill them. But you got to understand something. There's something else resonating in the back of their mind. What Mary had said. And so they not only fill them, but they got them so close to the top that nothing else could get in there. Right, that's right. Oh, y'all didn't get that. You gotta get so full of God. You gotta be so expectant of what God's going. It won't allow anything else to come in. No negativity. No doubt. No fear. Amen. No negative stuff whatsoever. I ain't got room because I'm filled to the brim. And ain't got room for nothing else in here. Why? What you start talking about, you're going to build a hospital because I'm filled to the brim. Amen. I ain't got room for nothing else. I'm full of the faith of the Son of God. And so when you fill the pot to the brim, ain't got room for nothing else to get in. That's how dreams are made. That's how miracles are conceived. Because somebody got a dream and they feel to the brim. Hallelujah. They're consumed with it. This is all that's inside of them. Amen. You got to understand something. There might have not been nothing but water from the natural perspective that was in there. But there was something else that was in that water. That water understood deity. That water understood, that's my maker right there. Uh-huh. That water understood whatever he said. Uh-huh. It's got to come to pass, and I ain't going to fight it. If anything, I'm going to facilitate it. Yeah. I'm going to aid it. I'm going to help it come to pass. And you'll be amazed when the right kind of faith is exemplified. If the faith of God is exuding out of us, amen, everything got to line up with the word. Right. I got to get some help in here this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. If we get the right kind of faith, there ain't nothing God will withhold from us. If we'll make the right kind of confessions, I'm talking about this is ground for a miracle. I see it. I looked at it in the text saying, my God, look at this right here. Lord, but tell me, I don't want you to sit down and dissect it this morning. I don't want you to start, you know, going through it and cutting it up in little bitty pieces, being didactic and cutting it up in little bitty pieces. He said, what I want you to do is just sit back and let me develop this. Yeah, I'm going to give you a few points and then preach. Yeah. Stir the minds of my people. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I hear God say, speak in such a way it commands obedience. We should be able to do that if we're children of God. We should speak to the mountain. And the mountain ought not be standing there talking about which way you want me to go, to the left or right. It ought just be getting up out of there.
That's right.
Or just be fleeing 7 ways. Just, I got to get out of here. Whether we go together or not, we got to move. I can't get no help. I'm trying, Lord. I'm trying hard. I'm trying hard. And Jesus said unto them, after he saw this great faith and after he saw his mother speak, and you got to understand something. When you speak, amen, with the right attitude, when you speak with the right convictions, when you speak under the unction of the Holy Ghost, amen, all Jesus is going to do is line up with his word. Because he said in his word, I cannot deny myself. I know y'all don't read the New Testament. Y'all just read Matthew, Luke, John, Mark. Y'all don't go no further than that. Some of y'all stop at Acts. But he said it in his word. I think it's in the book of, what is it, Timothy? 2:15. God yet abided, faithful. 2:13. And he says he cannot do what? Deny himself. God's faithful even if we ain't. Oh man. I got to move on. So here the word is out there. And then Jesus is, and Jesus said, oh yeah, I can bear witness with that. I can work with that. And so he starts talking. And he said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Now notice this right here. This thing not only got on, it was on Mary, and then it got on Jesus. Then it got on the disciples. And then it got on the folks. Nobody negative that was standing around. Everybody was on one accord. Everybody was pulling for the same thing. And they filled them up to the brim. I mean, there was nothing done that would cause Jesus to get vexed. Cause the Lord to get vexed. My mind, because I got so much stuff in my mind right now. Somebody help me. Didn't God tell a particular individual in the Bible what he should do. And, you know, he kind of did the least of what he should have done. Instead of him, just hauling back and just shooting 15 or 20 arrows, or him, just confessing, "I want the whole territory." He started using, "Just give me a little piece of it. I want the whole thing. Just give me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. That's all I want. I don't want no mansion that you got prepared for me." Just trying, you know how we get self-absorbed and try and seem like, we're real pious. "No, I want everything God got for me." And these disciples saying, "Look, I'm not going to leave no room for doubt. Fill it to the brim." And all of them was on the same accord. Nobody was around passing words. Nobody around talking about fill it to the brim, pass it down, fill it to the brim, pass it down, fill it to the brim, pass it down. They just went and filled it to the brim. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. And notice this right here. They wasn't no shaking. They didn't look at one another and talk about, "Man, we taking this to the governor. You think we might need to, maybe we need to, take a detour. Go up here and get some cheap wine from the corner grocery store." They drunk anyhow. They don't know. I was at that last wedding supper. They was tore up by this time. Nobody don't know what this is. Lord help! I bet I'm not gonna say that. And he said, "Draw out now and bow unto the governor of the feast." And without question, scooped down in there and got some out, and just as proud as ever, walked on up there and set it down. The governor got a hit of it. And he said, "My God." You got to understand something. The governor probably had a little buzz about that time too, His head probably was bad by that time, But he's still drunk, little buzz on, lightheaded. He still could taste, "My God, something about this wine here. Oh, Lord, I wish I could get a witness in here this morning. Something about that wine that God serves." And they said, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. Part number four. When the Lord speaks, leave no room for doubt. When the Spirit of God moves on your heart, leave no room for doubt. Just do it. Do not question him. Just do it. Fill it to the brim. The Lord tell you to go out and build a building. You might not have the land. Go on out and get the plans. Start looking for a contractor. Put the building together like you, there it is right there. Building, classrooms, sanctuary, cafeteria, daycare center, offices, library, foyer, sanctuary, a music room, and the contractor name right on the side. Contractor was asking me, "When we gonna build?" I said, "I ain't quite sure yet, but it's gonna be soon." Leave no room for doubt. People, I'm talking about, you're paying all this money to get these plans and stuff right here, and they ain't got no ground. And I'm just doing what the Lord told me to do. I'm filling it to the brim. I ain't got no time for no doubt. He hadn't failed me yet. Why he gonna fail me now? I got a track record. All I got to do is go back and look at what he's done in my past and know that if he did that, he can sure enough do this. There ain't a whole lot of folks that had some of the experiences that I've had. And a whole lot of folks, amen, that been in some of the places that I've been in and saw some of the stuff that God has done. I'm talking about sicknesses God stopped instantaneously. I'm talking about ailments in people's body instantaneously. I'm talking about deathbed confessions and walk in and lay hands on them and gone. just up talking. Amen. And folk get filled with the Holy Ghost. Just wave your hand. And boom, fall down. And power of God roll through them. Oh, yeah, I ain't got to say nothing. Got a track record. Amen. A man just had a heart attack, cardiac arrest in church service the Sunday before last. And then I lay hands on him, and he's 70 plus years old and running the church like a young man. Nobody but God. Folk coming to church on breathing machines and leaving there and ain't got the breathing machines on no more. I'm talking about a God. I got a track record. I can look back and see that he's been good to me. Why am I going to doubt now?
All right.
Riding down the road on a prayer and a song and a praise. Yeah. Gas needle buried. Can't see it. Riding along the interstate. Hands up. Like, Lord, I thank you. Crying like a baby. Hey, glory. But God is able. Amen. Yeah. Throw the rod in my vehicle, laid hands on it and prayed, and God made the rod get back in line. Put power back in the engine. Drove it until the transmission went out. And I probably could have prayed for the transmission. I wanted another car though. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. I know it do. I'm talking about when folk ostracize you and put you to the side, but you just stay consistent. Told me I couldn't preach in their pulpits, but God told me, said, there's a street corner that needs a preacher. Bought my stuff and say, you won't let me preach in here? I'll go where God won't man anyhow. Amen. Go place and ask for, can I get some power? Yeah, go ahead and plug up over here. And preach. Yeah. And God, all he's looking for somebody, fill up to the brim. Amen. Amen. No doubt. God told me to do something, and so I'm going to do it. And I'm telling you, this is the stuff, amen, miracles are conceived in. Amen. This is the kind of stuff that miracles are birthed in. When you have a mindset, whatever the Lord tell me to do, I'm going to do it. And so when the Lord speaks, fill it to the brim. Leave no room for nothing else. And so here the disciples, they filled this thing to the brim. And as soon as they did that, Jesus did the miraculous. He told them, he said, now draw out and go on to the king, to the governor, and give him something to drink. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants withdrew the water knew. Now they could have, in the midst of the governor taking a sip, they, governor, now if that stuff don't taste just right, I ain't had nothing to do with it. I'm a servant. I brought in here what they told me. Somebody could have got out of order. Somebody could have broke rank. Somebody could say, I ain't had nothing to do with this. Y'all not getting this. But they went on and served it. What are you saying? Point number five. Go believing and not doubting. Serve it to the governor. Go believing and not doubting. Serve it to the governor. The governor, he might have the power to kill you right now, but serve it to the governor. God give you a business plan. Don't make no difference what the Small Business Association says. Makes no difference if your business plan don't meet the criteria of the lending institution. God said, do it. And so you do it. Every dream hadn't been financed by a bank or a lending institution. God got some folks that he raised up just for you. God got some folk raised up just to facilitate this dream, this mandate. There are people all over this city, all over this state, all over this country, all over the world that just waiting to do what God want done in this ministry. They're waiting to finance it. Give us what it is that we need. And not only that, but God will put a talent inside of you that will reap the kind of benefits that's necessary. What I tell you about that CD, that seed. Why you think that radio station got started? Seed. Why you think that message share starts sharing these sermons all over the nation now? Seed. Because even if we don't receive it, that's somebody that want to hear the unadulterated, uncut, undiluted truth. There's some folks that's going through. One of the weakest sermons I thought I put on the internet was I'm Distracted. Are You Distracted? I thought that was the weaker of the three ones. That one's getting more play, got more downloads than any of them. And I didn't think that was my best sermon. The one I thought was going to be the one that's going to be the gangbusters, just tear up the internet waves, amen, and just, you know, go all over the world, was Work the Vision of the Church. Oh, I just knew. I said, man, this is an anointed message right here. And this thing here, when it hits, it's going to be like gangbusters. It's going to burn, baby, burn. And it took off, boy. Boom, rolling. And then when I put that Are You Distracted on that, throw it on brakes, and that Are You Distracted, boom, took off. And I said, my God, look at this. But you got to go believing and not doubting. Servant to the governor is worthy of royalty. What you have to offer is worthy of royalty. I know what the devil has told you, that what you have is not worthy. It's not of the elite status. It's not to be served to the elitist. But I heard God said, whatever you have, serve it to the governor. If he said, he told me, he said, son, if I got anything to do with it, it's worthy to be served to the elitist. You know, it makes no difference if you have not been to the university, and you're going to the university is fine. Getting your doctorate and getting your DD and your LLD and all those other things, that's really good. And knowing how to structure things, amen, from a theocratic, you know, point of view, that's fine. But you got to understand something. There is something that supersedes what man can do. The legalism and the structure of the organization, there is something that supersedes that. And I want you to know something. If a man or woman is walking under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and God has given them something to do, I want you to know something. Don't you push it to the side. Don't you discredit it. Because what God has anointed, amen, or what God has appointed, or what God has exalted, let no man or woman put asunder. Don't try and tear it down or mess it up. So when God gives you something, amen, and I'm talking about the stuff that miracles are conceived in, go believing and know that it is worthy to be served to even the elitist. Might be the governor, but what I got is worthy to be served to the governor. This is good stuff. And you got to understand something. You got to have that mentality. When I go places, amen, our church ain't as big as a lot of other churches. But I guarantee you this one thing, the anointing ain't no more pure than it is here. Amen. You can say what you want to say. It's not about numbers, it's about surrender. Amen. And if you do what God wants you to do, he'll give you the numbers. Amen. If you do what God wants you to do, he'll pull you off the backside of the desert and place you where you need to be at, so his will can be done. It's really all about him, and it's not about us. It's all about doing what he has called us to do. And so here Mary is, and we can learn a lesson from this little woman. Here Mary is, amen. She walks in and she tells them, amen. She walks up to her son and she said, now, can I paraphrase it? Now, baby boy, we don't have everything we need, so we need your assistance. And Jesus saying, it's not my time yet. It's not time for me to come out yet. I got to wait a little while longer. But you got to understand something. Amen. It might not be in his time at 11:30, but at 11:31. And you got to see that. His mama said, we ain't got no wine. And he said, woman, what have I to do with you? And then he turned right back around and told him, Yeah, it was 11:30 when he talked. But 11:31, I can't get no help. It might be 11:30 where you at. But guess what? I got good news. 11:31 on the way. My hour hadn't come yet. What you messing with me for? And she just said, you know what? Thank you, son. Whatever he tell you to do, do it. Whatever he tell you to do, do it. And then folks pulled up at attention and listened to what was being said and moved on out. Whatever, and listen to me, child of God, whatever he tell you to do, do it. It might look bad now. Might have run out. Back against the wall. Ain't nowhere to go. Couldn't go buy no wine because didn't have enough time. Or maybe the places was closed. But Mary wasn't worried. Didn't come in a panic. Walk right on in and say, we ain't got no wine. Do something. See, you got to be able to look past what is confronting you and look to the solution. Mary knew where the answer was at. She knew who could solve her dilemma. And so she went to him. And oh God, when she went to him, good God Almighty, things began to happen there, man. The wheel began to turn. Her need began to become fulfilled. And before long, they had something to drink. And not only to drink, but something to celebrate about. I can't get no help with this. The ruler said, now, I know how they normally do business. Listen to this, Bible believers. Listen to this church. Listen to this child of God. I know how they normally do business. They'll get you drunk and pull the good stuff and then bring the bad stuff because they figure we're too drunk to tell the difference. But that's not how God works. He'll wait until you thought that you saw the very best. Because see, some of us running after stuff now, we just settling. This man-made stuff. But God got something that you ain't never tasted of. God got something you ain't never seen before. God got somebody that won't play with your flesh, but will make the inner man of the heart stand up. God got some stuff ain't never hit the table yet. You thought you was tasted. Some of y'all satisfied with little goosebumps. But I'm not satisfied with that. I got some stuff in me that's got to get out of me. Every now and then I get upset. Every now and then, amen, I might not fight, but I feel like it. I can't get no help with this. Every now and then I'll be one say, hang on just one second here. And the devil is alive. I'm finna tell you a piece of my mind right now. You slew-footed, lying, full-box head devil. He wanted, but see, you can't get on the devil's turf. Can't play like he played. Because see, that's his arena. So you got to always keep your, you don't never hear Jesus start calling the devil no name. Some of y'all ain't got enough power anyway, so you ought not be provoking him. I can't get no help with that. Now calling them names, and you ain't got power to work your way out of a wet paper bag. My advice to you is don't provoke him. Yeah, I can't get no help with that. I think it was a certain angel that the Bible said when they were contending for the body of Moses did not make a railing accusation against Satan because he understood his authority and his power. And so when he stood before him, he said, Satan, the Lord. The Lord. Rebuke you. But I noticed, and when the rulers of the feast had tasted the water, brought it and gave it to the governor, and then the governor said in verse number 10, he said to them, every man at the beginning do set for good wine. And when the folks well drunk, then he bring out that which is worse. He said, but you done kept the good unto now. What I'm trying to tell you is such, hang on. Your best days are yet ahead. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best wine ain't been served yet. Your best days is still ahead. You got plenty of reason to be encouraged. God been holding back because the hour had not come. But I want you to know something. It's 11:31. And God is saying it's time. Time. And verse number 11 said, this was the beginning of miracles that Jesus began to work. And I want you to know something. Somebody ought to say, this is my beginning of the miracles that God is getting ready to work in my life. This is the day. When you start putting those four points together, invite Jesus to your gathering. Don't call your prayer partner. Don't call your Bible reader. Go in your own closet and call Jesus. I got to close this. Invite him to your gatherings and watch miracles start happening. Tell him what you need. Don't be faking and folk, you know, going through the motions, being a phony. Tell him what you need. Be real and watch miracles start happening. Encourage your desired results by giving clear, non-defiant instruction. Speak to the mountain. Ain't no choice in the matter. You got to move. Speak to your financial condition. In the name of Jesus, you got to move. I've had a little talk with Jesus. Told him all about my troubles. He came and sat in the ash heap with me. We discussed this. And he told me in his word to speak to the mountain. Now I'm speaking. I wish I had somebody that's bold enough to stand up here today and put their hands on their hip and speak to their mountain. So these kind of miracles, amen, you can't get these in the back corner. You can't get these by being cute. See, what God want to do, he want everybody to see it. He don't want this to be done in no back hall. And so point number 3 says you have to encourage your desired results by giving clear, non-defiant instructions. You have no choice, devil. You got to come out of my daughter right now. I'm not going to let go until you come out. You have no other choice. And you got to understand something. When you start releasing the greater one to start working on your behalf, when that devil see you stand up, comes to torment us before the time. I'm telling you, God will give you the kind of power that will cause fear to grip the heart of the enemy. And he'll be looking for a way of escape. I want to get out of here. I just let me tell me where I got to go to get out. They got some hogs over there. Can I get out? Yeah, I can't get no help. Speak in such a way that it commands obedience. Point number 4, when the Lord speaks to you, leave no room for doubt. Feel it. to the brim. When God tell you something and he reveals something to your heart, amen, get so consumed, so involved, so enthused with it, amen, that it fills you to the top. You don't have time to think negative. That's too much work to be done to be thinking about not getting the property. Too much revelation, too much been revealed. You know God's track record. There is too much that God has shown to be doubting him. Even if God hadn't done a miracle in your life, every day is a miracle. For you to get up and be able to suck air into your lungs and then blow out the carbon monoxide and still live, that's a miracle. Every day to be able to put your shoes on, amen, that's a miracle. For you to be able to get up and walk and talk and eat and digest your food, and it passed from your body, and your body keep what it need, that's a miracle. Let me close this. I gotta close this. And so he says here, last but not least, go believing, not doubting. Go believing, not doubting. So he said, go on, serve it to the governor. When the governor get a taste of this, the governor gonna say, my God, what is this? What is this? Everybody standing, I gotta quit. Everybody stand. Oh God. I wish I had more time because I really developed this here. That's good enough. This was the beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Canaan of Galilee. And it was manifest forth for his glory. And because of the miracles and because of the manifestation, his disciples believed on him. Because man is structured from a cardinal perspective. They got to see something in order to believe. Why don't you give them something to see? Let them look at your life and say, my God, that is the breeding ground for miracles. That woman's faith, that man's faith is the breeding ground for miracles. She seems like there is nothing that can be withheld from them. So when we walk like God wants us to walk, and we do what we need to do, miracles are conceived. And so out of this simple little text right here, you can see how miracles can be manifest in your life. They can be conceived. You got the stuff in you for miracles to happen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you would breathe on this word and cause it to be relevant to each and every one under the sound of my voice. Oh, when we spoke it, it was 11:30. But oh God, it's 11:31 now. It's your time. So have your way in us.